Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
You going to be a football player when you grow up?
This is Raider Nation Radio 920. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've been in football all my life.
So, Damon, the moral of the story is don't go into the hot tub. You're back in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Lincoln, we were just talking about a former NFL quarterback who had his time in the spotlight, you know, sometimes showing up with pictures of him with girls at bars and things like that, you know. And
Ben Roethlisberger?
No. But there was a – it was – okay, Matt Leinart, you know.
Oh, okay.
So there's an infamous story of – or pictures of him in his hot tub – at his place in Scottsdale, I think it was, you know, when he was with the Arizona Cardinals. And he had told me this whole story about how he had done everything he could to avoid being in that situation. He had gone to a basketball game with some of his friends. I think it was Arizona State against USC. And the plan was to go back to his house for a barbecue, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to stay out of trouble. I don't need any of that stuff anymore. You know, I'm on the straight and narrow. So his friends end up going to a club. I go back to my house. This is Matt. And a couple hours later, hey, we hooked up with some girls, blah, blah, blah. It's nice. It's free. It's easy. You know, just fun, innocent. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, all right, yeah, they could, you know, come on back, you know, blah, 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 blah. He gets into his hot tub. There's a couple girls in this hot tub. Somebody takes a picture. An hour later, it's all over the internet. And he's like, I did everything. And I didn't do anything. I mean, in my own house. And it just perpetrated the whole, you know, Matt Leinart image, and he's just like crushed by it all. I'm like, but it teaches you a lesson. You just have to be careful in those situations, Lincoln. Like, you have to go overboard to not put yourself in positions. I mean, that was 10 years ago, maybe even longer. I don't envy these kids nowadays that are coming out with everything, all the social media, all the phones.
Confiscate the phones and the stuff at the door when you come in. You got a little bowl for who's the baseball player who did that?
That's a good idea.
I mean, I'm just, you know, when you come
Fine
through the door,
waivers.
Yeah, exactly. You come through the door. Hey, thanks for coming. Put your cell phone here. There will be no photography. Everything else, yeah. So.
Yeah, cut out. Be like like China, and cut off all internet access, everything
absolutely.
Like that.
Or you find a way to put up a sort of a mobile a gate at your house, around your house, where when it comes in, now your cell phone and everything doesn't work. That's one thing I would be looking into.
The things we got to do, Lincoln.
Hey,
we just did what the hell we wanted to do.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. I've always felt like if you come to my house.
Yeah.
This is my zone.
Yes.
Okay. I have total control over the zone. So, you know, you can, if you have people over, you want to invite them. Obviously, you want to be, you're doing the part of accepting them into your house. But again, there's this, I think for most people have to realize that privacy is up to the ones who are willing to control it and how you want to control it.
Yep.
And so that's why I say, you know, when you walk in your door, I remember reading somewhere years ago, there was a baseball player who did that. And he was very, especially women he dated, leave your phone at the door. Cause I'm paranoid now. Especially what I saw happen to LBJ or, you know, Odell Beckham when he was in New York, you know, the girl who took a picture while he was sleeping. With cocaine on the side, you know, the side nightstand, and he was knocked out. I mean, that did
allegedly,
him in New York.
That could have been totally set up, too. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You know, you don't need a cell phone.
And it sounds like, you know, like, oh, wow, you're being paranoid. Yeah, I am being paranoid.
Absolutely. I got a lot to lose.
Heck yeah. And there's a lot of evil people out there as well.
True story.
A lot of evil people that have all kinds of things up their sleeve to try to take you down.
Yeah. Be careful, Damon. Careful, those women, especially. You know.
Damon might be one of the evil ones.
Is he?
He might be one of those.
You take pictures in the hot tub.
I don't know. He might be the one. He might be. I have some pictures of you, by the way. He might be the.
Oh yeah, I'm going to get my way to the top. Yeah.
It could, and don't think for a second that I haven't saved this on. It's in an envelope headed to the FBI at this very moment.
If anything were to happen to me.
Where's Damon Cotton? He hasn't shown up for work. I don't know, but there's a big old package headed to the FBI right as we speak. So be careful, Lincoln. I'm just saying.
Say it ain't so, D. Say it ain't so, it bro.
And I'll be honest. He came over to the house for Christmas, and there were no pictures of the shenanigans that were going
good,
on.
Good, good, good. That's a good start. That's a good start. That means you invite him back.
There you go. I don't know about that, but.
Oh, well.
No, he's definitely invited back. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation. Listener line, Shields Up is on the line. How you doing, Shields Up?
How you doing, Benny?
We're doing good, man.
Hello, Link. How you doing?
What's up? What's good, man?
I think Al Davis coined the phrase that we don't rebuild, we reload. But Al Davis clearly doesn't own the team right now, and Mark Davis does, and I'm just a little worried of his decision-making.
Don't be shows up. I mean, have some faith in the confidence.
Let's real quick. I'm going to give Damon. We're going to give him his time. Okay. What to this point, especially over these last 5 years or so, would give you any kind of concern over the decision making? This franchise is set up as well as it's honestly ever been set up. I mean, the next step is sustained success on the field, but. Everything else is in place, and Mark Davis deserves a ton of credit for that. But go ahead.
But I totally agree with you. But it's been tested. He had Del Rio. He has some coordinator Downing and Jason Tarver. He's going through some people, mm-hmm. and maybe it's been a process of elimination. To reach his success. But he openly admitted when he took over the team that, you know, I don't have my father's football acumen. And I respect that, you know, and he surrounded himself. He took advice from Madden and a lot of people on hiring McKenzie and all this stuff. But this is the most pivotal time in Raider football organization decision-making. And to me, we are very close, and I totally agree with you guys. I mean, to me, we're just one piece away on offense. Denzel Good hopefully can come back, and he'll start at right tackle because he's done it before. I think he played right tackle, and Lincoln would know maybe, at Denver.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
I'm sorry, Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And he could teach Leatherwood. So basically, we're one wide receiver away. Number one wide receiver on offense. Defense, it's just a bunch of re-signings and drafts for backups. That's my comments. But as far as the future and everything else, I just have a question for Lincoln, if I could, to close up. Link, you were the stalwart left tackle during those early Gruden years. You were a beast. Loved watching you play. But I got to ask you a question, man. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but well, what's your opinion of Barrett Robbins as a player and as a person? If you could do that, man, I appreciate it. And Shields Up, man. Thank you,
Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, brother.
Let me just say, Barrett Robbins is a very sensitive subject for me because it always has been. Barrett and I were very close. Prior to the Super Bowl that we played in, he didn't play that he missed. We were very close, and the reason why it's sensitive is because I always thought that BR was like a brother to me. I feel for him today with his troubles in life, his addiction issues, everything that's happened to him that he's had to sort of deal with in Florida. I've had a number of conversations with people over social media and everything else about, you know, trying to get him help and trying to do stump for him. But and I really feel for it. I had to separate myself from BR a long time ago because I couldn't afford to have him bring me down the way he brought everything around his life down. So it's a very sensitive subject because BR is a good guy. Once upon a time, I felt for him as like a brother, and I'm sorry that I lost him in the way that I can't control what he does with his life. But I'll just say this. I'll simplify it by saying this. I hope BR gets better. I really do. He's had a troubled life. He's dealt with a lot of issues. He continues to deal with a lot of issues. I'm very close with his family, his ex-wife, his girls, his daughters. And I know they're hurting because of his addiction issues. I hope that BR finds a way to clean up his life. He is a good guy. I'm not going to say he was a good guy. He is a good guy.
Right.
It's just, and when you battle, you know, Vinny and D and you guys and the listeners, when you have people who battle with addiction, the first things first is they have to admit they have a problem. And BR has had a problem for quite some time, and he's tried to find help. I don't know if he's clean now. I haven't talked with him, but I know that Zach Crockett, who's one of the Raiders scouts, has had some contact with him, and a lot of guys that played with him has had contact with him and kind of keep me in the loop about him, but I haven't heard from him in quite some time. I hope he gets better. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, same here. By the way, the baseball player that you were talking about, Derek Jeter.
That's who it was, right? Derek Jeter. Thank you very much. Derek Jeter. That's exactly. I remember hearing stories about him and his dating issues and stuff like that. So.
And our good friend Sashi Jerram on Twitter DM'd me to give me that information. A loyal listener. And Sashi, please let me know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly or incorrectly. That is important to me, so let me know. But thanks for that info. He's always like that.
I love it when our listeners chime in, because I get tweets every now and then from them as well. So I love it when they chime in.
Yeah, same here. And that's where we're it's a team game, man.
Certainly.
It's totally a team game. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line, Richard in Southern California. How you doing, Richard?
What's up, Vinny? What's up, Link? How are you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Good.
Hey, everybody keeps calling in and saying the Raiders need a number one receiver. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking because, you know, the salary cap, the projected space, according to SpotTrack, is $27.7 million in salary cap. Now we have a new GM. Everybody keeps saying Davante Adams. He's probably going to be franchised. With Rodgers potentially retiring, he becomes the Packers' best player, and he will be franchised. So giving up a first and third, do you see a new GM giving up a first and third and then paying him close to $25 million when you have $27 million in salary cap? And we also don't have any defensive tackles on our roster, you know, as of right now. So is that the best thing for the Raiders, or I don't understand the logic in that.
I mean, if you can get him, and there's ways to manipulate the I think you can when you're talking about the defensive tackles. All right, Quentin Jefferson, Solomon Thomas, Darius Filon, Jonathan Hankins. They all played on 1 year deals last year, Lincoln. For some of those guys, the 1 year deal route is kind of where they are in their careers. Lincoln,
right.
You know, sometimes you get to a point where that's basically what's out there for you.
Right.
You know, maybe you could do a 2 year deal with an option type of a thing, but I would think that, all of those guys are probably fairly open to coming back at whether it's similar, maybe a little bit of a bump. So I think they'll be able to figure out that defensive tackle issue. You're locked in with Max Crosby and Unique Ngakoue. Malcolm Kuntz came on and played well when he got a chance. Both Carl Nassib and Clee Farrell are still on the roster. So, you know, Casey Hayward is somebody that you have to sign back. He was on a 1 year deal this year, but you're in pretty good shape to be able to bring back the guys that you want. You can make that work. As far as Davante Adams, and depending on where the salary cap goes, if there's a way that you can get him that's fairly, you know, reasonable without having to give up the farm, it's something that you got to look at.
True story.
You have to.
Yeah, I think that, and I agree with you, Vinny. And I will always say this, that when people talk about salary cap and talk about money able to spend, look, if you want to get a player, you want to get, there are ways to get things done. There right. are ways to work around the salary cap and all that other stuff. Now, you don't want to put yourself in limbo for future considerations, but there's a way. The money is there. Mm-hmm. It's always a general manager's discretion to say, well, we don't have the money. That's why we couldn't do it. That's a bunch of BS.
Right.
But, you know, there's something to be said about the way that the Raiders had set up the what I call prove it contracts. Mm-hmm. Prove your value, prove your worth, prove it to me that you're capable of doing it. And now that you talk about somebody like a Casey Hayward or, you know, someone else, you show that their value, you want to sign them to a long-term deal. And these guys, these players are going to come on, look, I want some security, I want guaranteed money, and mm-hmm. they're trying to protect themselves. If their agents is worth a damn.
Right.
And their process is worth anything, they will do it. But there's ways of getting it done. So, when you talk about, you know, Devontae Adams, obviously you want to make a play for who's turned out to be one of the better receivers in the National Football League, and you need a receiver. I mean, that's just simple logic. But at the same point, you don't want to give up if he is franchised, you don't want to give up the farm for him because there's other places you can go. Be it the draft or, you know, somewhere else or a different free agent because there are other free agents available. So, I think that hiring a general manager and obviously having a plan for these holes that you have in your team because you are close is something that's viable and something that I think you would address in the interview process.
I agree. And I forget which draft expert was I was watching on TV, but, you know, one of the questions was, what's the strength of the draft, especially in the first round? They mentioned wide receiver. Wide receiver and actually offensive line. So, you know, history has shown, especially recently, Lincoln, where you can, if you hit correctly, if you make the right draft, you can come up with an instant impact wide receiver in the first round or even in the second round. We've seen them, the 49ers have done that recently. You know, the talent, there is talent there too. You don't want to just box yourself into got to get Devontae Adams because you need a wide receiver. And it would be great. They could get Devontae Adams, but it could get complicated. Now, here's the thing, right. Lincoln. The Packers are estimated, while the Raiders are estimated to have about $28 million under the cap as of right now, the Packers are $40 million projected over the cap. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even know. I have to ask around. Like, I don't even know if you can franchise tag somebody if you're over the cap, or do you have to wait to get under the cap in order to franchise? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's guaranteed money right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's anyone's guess, but. As I've said, you know, before, when teams sit there and say, "Well, we don't have the money," that's BS.
Right? There's where there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly.
And you can do it. You know, I'll throw this out at you. Would you be interested in Odell?
I'm slowly turning the curve. I thought he would be a headache and a nuisance, but I've talked to a couple of people who've been around him, and they. That he's not as bad as the public and the general media has made it seem.
Mm-hmm. He's just got a bad rap. I'm glad you come around, Lincoln.
Yeah, and sometimes your situation puts you in a bad place mentally. Certainly. And certainly. It's not always the easiest thing to do is to hide how you're feeling. And sometimes you try to put a lid on it. And I'm sure he sucked it up a lot in Cleveland. Like where I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not feeling it. And not everybody, Lincoln. And I'm probably the worst at it, one of the worst at it. I can't always hide how I'm feeling. Like my demeanor and my body language and all of that is probably going to be quickly exposed, like how I'm truly feeling. And some people just can't hide it. And I think Odell might be one of those guys. You just look at him over on the sidelines. And he may be thinking, nobody can tell I'm just genuinely pissed off right here. And the whole world's going, boy, he's pissed off right now, you know? So, and it might not be really his fault either. Like, there was a, you know, it wasn't the best situation.
Well, every receiver I've ever played around is a prima donna. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, I've come off the field and I've watched guys like Jerry Rice and Tim Brown. And these guys are good friends of mine, so don't take it wrong the way I say it. But they always scream that they were wide open.
Right.
You were triple covered. No, I'm wide open. Throw me the ball. You know, I mean, just, you know, and I'm sitting there, I'm on the field. I'm like, you were covered. And throw me the ball. You know, so I'm not going to say Andre Rison. I go down a list of wide receivers I've played with. They were all prima donna. So I'm not taking anything from Odell Beckham about it. I'm sure that he had his, you know, when he was in New York, they wanted to get rid of him because he was a little bit of a headache and a little bit of a nuisance and a little bit of a prima donna that stood out in the New York press, and they sent him to Cleveland, and he wasn't getting the ball. But every receiver I've been around, Keyshawn Johnson, even Ryan, I'm just going down the list. They've all been the same. Ocho Cinco, they've all been the same. So if you bring a guy like that into your organization, you have to have a package designed to get him the football.
Right.
Just to appease him.
You were on the dark side of football, weren't you? On Vice, didn't you?
Yeah, I was. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday or the day before, it might have been the day before, they had it was on the wide receivers, and they kind of centered it around Chad Johnson, but they talked to a whole bunch of other wide receivers. And I want to say it was Chad, maybe it was another wide receiver, but think about it from a wide receiver's perspective, okay? You can do everything right. Bust your you-know-what. Run the best route. Beat your guy. Do everything you're supposed to do a whole bunch of times over the course of 60 plays, offensive plays, and maybe get 5 or 6 looks.
Right.
Like, that could, you know, like, we may call them prima donnas, and maybe they are. But if you're not getting fed, even though you're doing everything right, and plus, you know, a lot of time that's a lot of energy expanded too. That's a lot of running that you're doing for nothing sometimes. You could kind of see maybe Lincoln. I don't know.
Well, I mean, look, I told Rich Gannon when I played with him, I feel for him because I couldn't imagine there's only one football.
Yeah,
you know, and the time that we played, I had guys like Charlie Garner, I had guys like Tim Brown, Rich, you know, Jerry Rice. I mean, all these people that wanted the ball,
right?
And there's only one football.
And think of it. Okay, so let's go 65 plays, and your running back is going to catch it 20 times. There's 20 plays right there.
Right.
So now we're down to 45 plays, and now you've got 3 wide receivers, a tight end. It gets short real quick.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, it does, and that's why I said that's what I told Rich. I said, "Look, I feel for it. I couldn't deal with this. I'm literally not exaggerating when I walked off the field at times, and I've heard the receivers yelling. I was open. You got to get me the ball. I got to get this. I got these incentives and whatever. Dude, I couldn't imagine being a quarterback in that situation, and all I had to do was protect his ass, you know. But that was my job.
You know? What were offensive linemen incentives? What, like no sacks allowed and things like that?
No. They didn't have anything like that. Pro Bowls, All Pro status. Those were the type of incentives that you had, addendums that you had in your contracts. Number of games you started, depending on where you were and stuff like that.
Well, Odell, I think by the win yesterday, made another $750,000. And if they go to the Super Bowl, it's another $1 million.
Uh-huh.
I've talked to general managers and team presidents about that. And they're like, you know, because you see the number a lot of times, right. Like he signed for 5 years, you know, right. And they laugh because it's like, it's not really that. But if it does become that, we're the happiest SOBs in the world because it probably meant we won a bunch of Super Bowls. And, you know, so
if you think about what the Rams did in consideration where they are right now, they're in the NFC Championship, but you think about, they don't have any draft choices. They gave them all away to assess these guys, and they really loaded for a Super Bowl win now team, not tomorrow, not 2 years down the line. Now team. And that's why they went out and got the Von Millers and the Odell Beckhams and stuff like that and the Matthew Staffords. They gave up everything and the farm because they want to win now. They felt that they're on the cusp and they're one game away from
winning. Here's what's so funny about all that. The Rams haven't had a first round pick literally since Jared Goff in 2016.
That makes I don't have a problem believing it. I feel that same thing.
You want to know who's had the most draft picks since 2016?
Who?
The Rams. Because they trade down, they get comp picks. So right. They don't have the first round picks, but when you look at all the draft picks that have been made since 2016, the Rams are either the most or the second most. They figured out a formula. You got to give them credit.
Draft capital.
They let people walk. They get the draft capital for that. or they're trading down to accumulate more draft picks and they're doing a good job hitting on them, that's kind of where you want to be. I wouldn't say trader.
Well, I mean, look at the last 5 years. Look at what they are. I mean, they've been in the playoffs for, what, the last 5 years?
Four out of the last five years. One Super Bowl, yeah, two championship games.
I mean, you can't complain with the results. I mean, obviously you would want Super Bowl championships, but, you know, you're close.
And that's why I tell Raider fans, keep an eye on that, because the Rams stunk for 16 years prior to coming to L.A. Now look at it. There's no reason the Raiders can't turn the corner. Similarly, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Monday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Raider T is on the line. How you doing, Raider T?
Coleman, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Hey, I want to talk about this whole Aaron Rodgers thing, you know, the debate with Derek Carr, but real quickly, two comments, because you were just talking about the Rams, and when people talk about the Rams, they're always talking about them trading away their first round draft picks for veteran big name players. Well, you know, I felt a certain way about that until we used Khalil Mack first round picks, and most of them turned out to be mistakes.
Yeah.
So I've changed my mind. I think we might have been better off doing that. Number two, real quickly, before Aaron Rodgers, you know, because the other caller brought up Barrett Robbins. I feel like I have to comment on that, you know, because I feel like when people talk about him, they only talk about the Super Bowl. But that guy was, prior to that, he was just a tough, nasty, mean offensive lineman. Quick story, the thing I think of most when I think of him is I remember a game down in Miami, and Link could probably attest to this. That guy tore his ACL, and I don't know if it was a partial tear at first. He missed one play, went back in, and then tore the whole thing. So I always think of that guy as just a tough, mean, nasty guy, team first. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for his family with the, you know, what he's going through and the demons and how he's been self-destructive. So I pray for him and his family to get their life together. So I just want to say that. The whole rumors with Aaron Rodgers, you know, think about this for just food for thought, because I heard JT talking about today, and he was advocating for, hey, Denver's going to get this guy if we don't get him, essentially, and it's kind of a game of chess. Let's block Denver from getting him. Well, next year, during the football season, these could be the four starting quarterbacks in the AFC West. You could have Mahomes in Kansas City, Herbert in L.A., Aaron Rodgers in Denver, and Russell Wilson in Las Vegas. That would be four potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks in one football division. I don't think that's ever happened. At the same time, I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the NFL. Well, wouldn't that be something?
That would be crazy, and we appreciate the call, Raider T, and thanks for the memories on Robbins. Okay, Lincoln, I got to bring something up to you, and I'm not saying this in relation to Aaron Rodgers coming to Las Vegas. I'm not going to mention any specific places. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, and I looked at that game against the 49ers on what was it, Saturday, and it was such an element game. You know, the that wasn't the Green Bay Packers offense or Aaron Rodgers in a dome stadium or, you know, pristine weather like in Tampa Bay yesterday. I think that worked to the 49ers' favor. It muddied the whole thing up and took away. I know the 49ers' defense was lights out. I give them credit for that. But I also think the elements played into it a little bit. If you're Aaron Rodgers, does that even come into your mind? Like, man, let me go out to Las Vegas, you know, in a domed stadium, or Tampa Bay, where it's not going to be like this, and I have a better chance, you know, in games like this at this time of year.
Well, look, there's something to be said about what you consider home field advantage,
right?
Green Bay is definitely a home field advantage when you have the winter, when you have the way it is. The fact that they're special teams, which is something that they necessarily haven't had a weakness for, fell apart for them in that game was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But I thought they had everything in control other than the special teams factor. It shows you how viable it is. You have a blocked field goal. You have a blocked punt for a touchdown. That's the difference in the game. But as far as Aaron Rodgers are concerned, I mean, I think that – you know, when this is why a run game is so critical and viable for especially this time of year playing football, you know, being able to run the football or being able to control the ground game. And they didn't have that.
No.
You know, and again, you give the 49ers credit because, you know, the 49ers, for the most part, outplayed them every way, just couldn't convert the points, you know, when you look at that game. So, as far as Aaron Rodgers moving on, it's really unfortunate that you can make the argument for one of the better quarterbacks we've had the opportunity of witnessing over his career has only one Super Bowl to his claim.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, you can honestly make that argument. He's the best quarterback in the game for the last, what, 10, 15 years, whatever you want to say, and he only has one Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, you would think it would be more at this point.
One would think. I mean, especially when you think about not taking anything away from Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady is definitely a capable quarterback. But for there's been a great – when I look at it, when I break down as far as the Super Bowls go, I assess there's been a number of times where you can make the argument his defense put him over the top. Obviously, the quarterback gets the credit for, you know, for having the Super Bowl rings. I'm not taking that away from him, but his defense put him over the top. I mean, because you can make the argument last year that Tom Brady turned over the ball three times. They lost a turnover battle to Green Bay, but yet his defense and missed coaching on the other side. Matt LaFleur did a bumbling job of the coaching. Cost him the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the first two Super Bowls that Tom Brady won with New England. It was his defense that put him over the top. It wasn't what he did. But it was his defense. Now, you watch yesterday's game in Tampa Bay, the way that they came back, it's because Tom Brady understood pre-snap rules and everything else and knew how to manipulate.
And the Rams turned the ball over.
Exactly. And the Rams turned the ball over.
On a bunch of those turnovers, I have to give my credit to the Buccaneers defense. There were some great timed, you know, knocking the ball out.
Without a doubt. Those
type of things. They weren't just necessarily careless mistakes by the Rams. They were good plays by their defense. Tom Brady took advantage. But when it came right down to it, you know, Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and that group got it
done.
They
made the plays when they had to.
Yeah.
But I could have sworn when Cam Akers fumbled that ball, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, you just gave them the game.
Jamon, you got something for Link?
Yeah, Lincoln, I got to ask you, we're talking about that Green Bay game. Oh. What's making the 49ers run game like so spectacular? Because obviously Jimmy G just doesn't have the goods, and they're winning in spite of him. Because we're talking about like average quarterbacks and, oh, like, you know, winning. See, he might make it to two Super Bowls in the past 3 years, and nobody thinks that he's actually a good quarterback.
It was right? Only 106 yards.
You have an offensive line that likes to beat people up.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, if you think about it, Trent Williams is by far one of the best left tackles to play the game. And I enjoy watching him. I wish that I could have played with, you know, some guys like that. Just wants to maul people. He wants to push you down in the ground, and he wants to bury your face in the dirt. And that's what you want out of your offensive line, especially when it comes to run game. You don't have a lot of that these days. And the Trent Williams is one of those throwbacks to the old days. But guys like that create a tenacity amongst the group to where they really want to push people around. Hey, Alex Mack, the center, you know, going down the list, they really want to embarrass defensive linemen. And it really is fun to watch.
Hey, do you think did you ever have a chance to line up like at fullback the way he did in that game?
No, I wish I did. Trust me. If I got a running start at somebody, I was going to try to hit anything of an opposite color. And that's exactly what he did. And trust me, I jumped up when I saw it. I was like, oh, let's wish it. Those are the type of things you dream about.
I was definitely thinking about you on that play.
Counter Trey O is one of the plays that we had that we ran, and we ran it a lot in college, and I enjoyed pulling around the horn looking for a defensive back. The eyes just got big when they saw me because it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just about to run through you.
That's a good feeling right there. Big Deuce is on the line, the Raider listener line. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Vinny. Thank you guys for taking my call.
You got it.
First off, I was listening to earlier a caller talking about, Mr. Davis not really knowing what he's doing and whatever. I'm putting my faith in Mr. Davis because he's always done what has been the best for the Raiders and the best for the Raider Nation. because I think some of the Raider Nation forgot that we wanted him to go out and get Chucky and bring him back. You know, and on top of that, I just want to ask Mr. Lincoln there, if since we're going, you know, throwback stories, do you think you could throw out a quick throwback story of between you and Miss Amy Trask? Because right now, I would love to have her back running the team. I even put that out on Twitter. Miss Trask, come back. I've been begging her for years.
Oh my goodness, Amy. Oh, I miss her. She's one of the sweetest ones. The best story that I could have for Amy, there's quite a few, but the best one is most people who didn't know Amy personally, Amy cussed worse than a sailor. Amy had a potty mouth. she would get fired up in conversations, and she would just drop all sorts of expletives and derogatories to comments about things. But she was passionate about her job. And I remember one time, I can't remember what setting we were in, but I heard her potty mouth. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? And she's just like, I'm a lady when I have to be. But other times I'm passionate about what I do. So Amy was a good one. And you know what? As far as when it goes with Mark Davis, I will say this. I appreciate the fact that Mark came out and admitted very first and very early that he wasn't his father and that he wanted to try to bring people in for the betterment of the Raiders. Since then, I think he's acquired knowledge and he's obviously acquired experience with not only running one of the more successful franchises in sports history, but more importantly, just wanting the best for the Raiders. They've come a long way. You think about it, Vinny and Damon. You think about where they came from, especially being in Oakland, the situation, and now where they are now is a betterment. And that's why I think the salary cap and everything that he's done, he's been a part of, it's a very enticing job. But they so badly want to get it right. I hope they do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is in a better place than it's been in a long, long time. And it's just now building off of that. But, you know, some important decisions coming on who to put the faith in. As far as that general manager's job and as far as that head coaching job, and we will see where all that is headed. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy.
Hey, who doesn't like dogs out there? Everybody loves dogs. What about French bulldogs? You ever thought about a French bulldog? They're called Frenchies, and they were extremely popular dogs, known for being sleek, excellent city dogs. They have a playful and intelligent demeanor, and they are known for adaptability. They love people. Well, if you've ever been thinking about maybe getting a Frenchie or adopting one or buying one, think no more, look no further, because Raider puppies are now located here in Las Vegas, and they are AKC registered. They have all their health certificates. They've been surrounded by attention and love from day one. They are wonderful dogs. And if you are interested, call them at 702-374-5040. That's 702-374-5040. Frenchies. I've got one. Francisco, love you, brother. Even though he's crazy, but in a lovable way. And he's on his way to being a great dog. So give him a call if you're in the mood or interested in a French bulldog. Lincoln, so what a weekend of football. I want to get your thoughts on the games coming up. San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams over at SoFi Stadium. And the Kansas City Chiefs, I almost said the Buffalo Bills.
You did say the Buffalo Bills.
You know, Marcellus Wiley, I just saw a clip with Marcellus Wiley, and he's like, the best team didn't win. The best team lost a coin flip. That was his, and of course, he's a Buffalo Bill at
certainly
heart, too.
Yeah.
But I think he was actually, let's talk about that for a second. Listen, Lincoln, every sport there is, baseball, basketball, soccer, for crying out loud, when it gets to hockey, both in an overtime period, both teams get a chance. In baseball, the home team gets in a bat, the visiting team gets in a bat. Nobody doesn't get to bat. You know what I'm saying? In an extra inning game. In basketball, obviously you play five extra minutes and everyone gets an opportunity to play offense, defense, on and on and on and on. This is the only sport, football, where there's a chance, and usually it's a fairly decent chance that whoever wins the coin flip is the only offense that's going to get a chance to score in overtime. I don't think that's right, Lincoln.
I disagree. Okay. You've got three phases to the game. You've got offense, defense, and special teams. And you have to do your part when you're talking about a team game. I don't like going extra innings or extra quarters or extra possessions. I think there's room to get hurt there. And you know, the NFL, to me, that when they got away from sudden death, you know, the first one score is over. When they got away from that and they were like, well, if you touchdown, then the game's over. And if you, I mean, I thought they made that as fair as possible. Your defense has to show up. You know, you just can't have, you can make the argument, well, every team should get a chance. No, your defense needs to show up. You pay people to be defensive players and defensive coaches. The defense has got to show up.
Okay, but why should it be different than, like, in baseball where, you know, the visiting team's going to bat in the 10th inning and then, you know.
Because in baseball, you can't score on defense. There's no way you can score on defense. The only way that you can score is by having a chance up at bat. Baseball's different. Basketball goes extra time, and then, you know, whenever the extra time is over, the team with the high score wins, or they go in more overtimes. I just think you're opening for injuries that way, you know.
Throw some damn common sense, man, with that.
No, it's just like
defense can score.
Defense can't score in baseball.
However, okay, I agree with you, but there's got to be you don't like the college overtime rules?
No, I think it goes long, and then finally they adjusted the rules to where now you, after a certain amount of overtimes, you have to go for two because they're trying to limit it. I mean, you go back to, what was it, a year or two ago, whatever it was, Texas A&M, LSU, they went to like seven overtimes? That's ridiculous.
All right, what about this? All right, what about, forget the coin flip, all right? How about, because I think that, this is what I kind of come up with, all right? Just extend whatever the situation is to end the game. That's where you pick off for, you know, in overtime. Okay, so that would negate having to take a knee all the time or play for overtime. You just keep playing. And then if regulation ends with the ball at the 50 on a first down, that's where it restarts in the second or in overtime. And maybe you make it 10 minutes and that's it. And whoever's ahead after 10 minutes wins the game. There's no sudden death. There's no this. There's no that. You just play an extra 10 minutes and however it ends, it ends. What about that? 10 minutes.
Eight minutes. I guess what happens if after 10 minutes you still end in a tie? You go to another one? No, you go another overtime? You start the same thing over and over again? Because you can't, obviously in playoffs, playoffs football, you can't have a tie.
Right.
You can do that in a regular season. You can have a tie.
How many games?
They
didn't
have to. They could have maybe won for an onside kick that you don't have to give them the ball back.
What's that?
During overtime, it's like, oh, the Buffalo Bills, well, maybe if their special teams was a little bit better, who's saying that you can't kick an onside kick and then get the ball back?
Yeah, what about what I'm saying is you just play an extra – okay, look, there aren't that many games that end in a tie, even when you play that, you know, when you play the extra.
You can't do it in playoff football. Someone's ass away.
Right, and your scenario is you know, where somebody isn't ahead after the 10 minutes, it's – and maybe doing a running clock too, I don't know, but I just think – I was disappointed in how that ended because I just...
Well, I mean, look, Buffalo needed to do a better job at getting off the damn field. You have to find a way to negate someone's power. And they didn't. They didn't in the last drive. That's why there were so many points that were scored. I give Josh Allen and the offense credit, but the defense really, really let them down because they didn't have an answer for Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill.
And for that matter, so do the Kansas City Chiefs. They give up just as many points, except they...
Hey, that's why you got to be better.
You got to be better at that coin flip, man.
It's a 50-50 chance. It's 50-50 chance. He calls tails. Exactly. You know? You'd be like Foster Moreau. You're trying to get it right all the time. Oh, don't second guess it. Just stay what you call. Game message. Exactly. It is what it is.
All right. Lincoln Kennedy, thank you. We will talk to you later on week. Truly appreciate it. Devon Cotton, thank you. Want to thank Greg Bedard for joining us out in Boston. Some really good insight on what's going on over there. Thank you to all the callers. We appreciate it. We'll be back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life.
TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.